I don't really like that concept.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please.
Jordan said, no way, that they're totally against passive.
Approve the minutes of the September 12th and September 20th regular meeting.
So moved.
Second, discussion? Anybody against?
Nope.
All right. Resolution 383, setting a public hearing of transfer .0 acres, City of Kingston's Economic Development Alliance.
So moved.
Second? Second?
Oh, no, I want to talk about it.
I want to second it so you can talk about it?
Okay, I'll second it.
Second?
I don't always like to be on the record for seconding things. I have questions about it.
Tracy?
Okay, so I just got to, this makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, and I'm trying to articulate fully why, but this is county property that we're transferring in order essentially to sell, but to sell to one buyer.
Yep.
Well, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Their factory's on the property.
What?
Yeah, Tracy, they built the building and
I get
cooler
it.
On
our property.
On the right of way.
A long time ago.
A long time
ago. I get that, but they're not the only ones. I mean, we have other properties that we have. So my first concern is that we're setting a precedent, and now anywhere someone's built or infringed on our property, that, you know, we're setting a precedent that, okay, then we should be giving up our property all over to anybody who's infringed. And two, I'm concerned about the concept that we're essentially turning this over to a private business. I mean, we're using the EDA as the intermediary, but this isn't essentially a public auction because there's one buyer for this, which I get. I don't even know the backstory of this. Mm-hmm. It's just it makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Chris can explain the backstory.
All right, let Lynn talk.
We did have a conversation in economic development. We tried to move it to the IDA to ensure that, you know, everything was being looked at, and that did not pass. But what I would say is, I understand that there's a local business that, you know, is trying to resolve these adjustment issues. It's not clear to me if this is infringing at all on the Greenway with Kingston. And if we've got this, we've had the issue with a couple of other businesses, I think we need to ask planning or finance or what have, or real estate, to come back to us with an assessment of properties, county property, where we have encroachment issues. Because, you know, this comes up as a, you know, we've got to make it happen now, and we haven't had time to digest anything, and I'd like to know where else we have issues. So if something else is coming up, and to Tracy's point, does this now set precedent that, oh, if you're encroaching on county property, don't worry, you're going to get it. I think it you know, raises a bigger issue.
Tracy?
I also, I mean, Lynn just said you understand about the, I even forgot the word you used, the whatever issues, but I don't understand about the whatever issues, which I'm guessing I'm going to hear from Chris in a minute, whatever, what's prompting this at the moment. But I'm also curious, when we sell this 1.8 acres, does that mean we give up this right away? I mean, yeah, this, I don't know, it does not make me feel comfortable in any way, shape, or form. And I definitely want to know, I would like to have an analysis. I know of one prominent example where a private business is encroaching on our property and has built on the county's right-of-way, for sure. But there may be more. I have no sense
we
of what
know.
Exactly we're talking about.
It's
in terms
not a precedent setting. I believe it was last year, the year before, we did another one of these in the same area.
What was it?
On the...
We, in the past, you've done the Spada property because the Spada, the loading dock was on our property. And this is in direct proximity to that. If I could, sometimes a map will help.
All right, just before we go on, Tracy, you said 1.1 acres. It's only
0.18
acres.
Oh, 0.18, okay.
Just so that Claire, we're talking about.
Send that around to the...
Yeah, I see
the
it.
Shaded parcel is the one that we're looking to surplus. Tracy, believe me, if there was any conflict between this and the Green Line Trail, or what we call the Midtown Linear Park, we wouldn't have done this. I went out with Amanda Laval, Dennis Doyle. We looked at this. essentially, this is a long-standing encroachment that happened years ago. It was found through a recent survey that they did and then that we confirmed, because they were going to get an investor and they found that they had deed issues. Like, they didn't have a clean deed on this part of their facility. There's literally part of the dairy plant that they process local milk in that was built on this, as well as a refrigeration unit and parking for the trucks. This is very marginal land, like in between the buildings. It has no function in terms of park or future railroad. So this has no impact on future rail. It has no impact on future trail. It really is drawing a line to a kind of a rectangular piece of property, the minimum possible, the minimum necessary for them to get clean title to the property that they own. I just want to tell you what they do, too. There are 45 employees here in Midtown Kingston, which is a big deal to have manufacturing in Midtown Kingston. Their specialty is getting fresh milk from some of the smaller producers in the county and around the county, and then marketing in the city as a particularly fresh brand. And you all may know there's been a lot of consolidation both in meat packing and in dairy processing. And this is like a unique business to really try to help out in the city. We're not giving it to them for free. The deal all along was they pay for the appraisal, they pay for any closing costs, they pay the fair market value, which has been assessed as $19,100, and they have to also build a fence for us, which brings down the price of my linear park when we go to build that next year. So we tell them what kind of fence we want, and you know, they put that solid gold fence up, although we probably won't use a joking card.
I know.
It's hard not to get snarky.
I appreciate the joking.
And I would just say, the one other issue I want to say, we do have other encroachments as you get further along the line, but we haven't spent the money and the time to survey everything. We've got 38 miles of corridor. Do we have other encroachments? I'm sure we do. But we take them project by project, because I'm doing, you know, all of the right-of-way research now. And as we're doing that, we're going to resolve the other issues. I've got another issue a block away where the building is 2 inches over the property line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in some cases, if it's not a major encroachment, we can just do a 5-year permit to allow them to use that. This is so significant that they can't get financing from this investor who is going to, you know, help to expand their operation there.
Lynn?
Well, I appreciate that, and nobody is trying to interfere, but I do think it's important that we get a list of properties, whether you've resolved them or not, but even if you don't know for sure, but you suspect that there's some encroachment issues, we should know where they are, so that if something comes up short term and we've got to react, we at least have a sense of where the issues lie. We don't have any sense today.
Through the chairman, we just took back a 38-mile corridor that we essentially didn't have site control of for nearly 3 decades. To verify, I can say I think these are encroachments, but to verify those encroachments is a boundary survey. And if you want to do that from Kingston up to High Mount, that's probably tens of thousands of dollars a survey. Now, what makes more sense is as you do projects and have funding, like we have federal funding for this, there's actually federal dollars for us to do that survey. So we get $4 out of every $5 back. You know, again, I would take it as we do projects, as we, you know, like, why would you do that in areas where you're not proposing to do anything right now? Like the 1.7 miles between the Ashokan and where CMR are.
Only place we have encroachments is just on that? So the point is, if we've got encroachments, we should have a sense of where they are. Even if they're not resolved or they're just maybes, we should understand where the issues are. And it shouldn't be at the last moment.
Lynn, but I'm not going to go and say without doing boundary surveys. So if you want to put together a project to do that, we can assign the tens of thousands of dollars necessary to do that survey work.
Chris, I don't think...
But it also is...
Oh, come on.
Chris.
Hold on, both of you.
What's ridiculous?
Hold on, please. Chris, hold on.
38
Chris.
Miles
Chris.
In minutes.
I think the question's asked, can you give us a listing of properties that you might think are encroached upon? Not that we want to do anything, we want to know what the list might consist of. But we're not going to hold you that you missed one, two. You could be wrong. You might, like you said, you might think that property X is an encroachment. It might not be until you actually do a survey. Personally, I would not go venture to go do a survey to spend money unless we really needed to do a survey. But that's just my personal opinion.
So we should know.
But I don't have the data to do that.
Okay, but you know the properties well enough, I think, Chris, that you should be able to go down, you know, listing, looking at, and saying, oh, I might think this property might be an encroachment. This one definitely isn't. This one could possibly be. Just so that we have an idea of what it might be in the future. All right? Can you possibly do that, Chris? And I'm not going to tell you to do it overnight or anything along those lines. But
I would check with our real property division. The issue there is we have tax maps, and you overlay them on the aerial maps. We know that they are not fully accurate until they're boundary
surveyed. Totally understand that.
So what if I say a property, I mean, what fights am I going to start with all the property owners up and down the line? If I put on record that we think somebody's encroaching, next thing I know, we'll have another lawsuit.
No, we're not saying they're encroaching. We're saying that we basically
think... That's what you're asking.
No, you are thinking that this property might be an encroachment. You're not saying it is. You're saying it could be possibly, from the information that you have, it could be an encroachment. If we're going to do something with that property, then we'll take an action. If not, I don't think the county's going to do anything at this point. That's just my personal opinion.
It would take some time. I'll do my best, but it's going to come with an awful strong disclaimer. And I really think it raises legal issues for us of doubt. Saying this without detail.
Okay, but that's for the future. Let's talk about the project at hand now. Tracy.
Laura, did you want to go first? Because you haven't spoken.
Well, yeah, actually, because we walked this Sunday, and it stops at Down Street, so you can't go in, because there's a gate there as well.
This isn't near Down Street. This is between Cornell and O'Neill, and you wouldn't have been able to walk unless you actually got a key and went in there.
Okay.
Did you go into this area, or did
no,
you go?
No, no.
So I think what you're
that's
thinking
That's why I'm kind
of
surprised it goes this far, because there's really no access beyond Down Street.
No, there is access all the way back to Cornell Street and beyond. This is now fenced off.
Okay.
And if you go in there, there's also a fence between Boyce's property and the county's property. And part of the property that's fenced off is, in fact, our property. And they're parking trucks on it and have for many years. So where I think you're thinking about is west of Down Street. And this is east of Down Street by about... So it goes Downs, O'Neill, Cornell. It's between
right,
O'Neill.
And you can't access
it's the old rail yard.
Beyond Downs.
You know, so like sometime during the time that they had a rail yard there, the encroachment was built and then further developed. And by the time we got it, this was, you know, if looking at it, you wouldn't even tell it's new or somebody's encroaching. And
So these are city and county gates then?
No, just the county.
Okay.
And we couldn't find any building permit. I couldn't find any permission that was ever given. I don't even think it was the guy that owns the business now. It's probably his dad who did it. And again, they may have just done it because they didn't know the detailed boundaries of this. If you look at it and you square it off, it kind of makes sense what they did.
When,
you know? Tracy?
Well, a couple questions. So when do you know when this metal structure and what this is the structure, right? I get that there's parking area, but this is the structure we're talking about?
You have two major structures on it.
The pad with the metal structure.
You'll see
I see this building where it says yeah, removed. That's a building.
There's a kind of an appendage to the processing plant itself where they back trucks into. That's the first...
Is that this?
That's the first rectangle that you see on the west side.
Uh-huh.
Then there's a pad that has like a refrigeration unit and another thing that has an awning. You'll see on the color copies, the yellow is a fence that they put up years ago where it's labeled gravel and parcel A. That's where all the trucks go.
Do we know when either of those were built?
No.
More than 25 years ago.
Okay.
It wasn't in the time that I started visiting this corridor in late 2012, and these were existing conditions at that time.
So that's
time.
6 years ago. I have a couple questions, though. So in terms of your reluctance to flag properties that may be encroaching. Is there a standardized number of feet off the center line of the rail track that is right of way?
No, it varies. Typically, it's 66 feet. It's 33 on either side of the center line. However, that deviates from, there are areas that are 35 feet wide, and then there are areas that are as wide as 200 feet. And that would, that's one of the things that makes it difficult.
Okay. And then can I revisit something Lynn brought up, and that's the difference between the potential of putting this through, you mentioned the EDA, you said in
they're putting it through the EDA versus the IDA.
But it was brought up to bring it through the IDA. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about why that was suggested, or what happened in, that happened in
Europe? Came up in economic development. Legislator Rodriguez put it on the table. It was defeated in committee. I mean, it's tomatoes, tomatoes, or apples and oranges. What would be the difference? Both Legislator Rodriguez and myself sit on the EDA along with representatives from the executive's office. What would be the difference in either organization? There is none.
It's a cost, too. If you do it with the IDA, you have to pay the IDA attorney. The EDA, this would be done in-house, and it wouldn't cost extra money, and it would probably be done much more quickly.
And again, so that I can understand this, the transfer to the EDA, then it's not going up for an auction, it's going for a direct sale to this property owner.
That's correct. And it's been appraised, so we have a fair market appraisal from Hudson Valley Appraisal based on recent sales in the same area based on square footage. And they paid for that appraisal, and they paid for all closing costs.
So a couple of things just for context.
No, not the EDA, not because of the EDA. I'm sorry, she asked me for clarification.
So the reason that I know that this goes back more than 25 years is that when I was approached by landowners out in Shandaken wanting to get access to the UND corridor more than 20 years ago, I started going to railroad advisory committee meetings. And virtually, not the same map because it wasn't a survey, but this property and this problem was brought before that committee on multiple occasions back then, way back then. And the committee realized they needed to do something about it, but they didn't want to pay for the cost of a survey. And so they said, two decades ago, if we wait long enough, the property owner will need a survey, and then the property owner will pay for it, and then we'll deal with this. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw this come up, I thought, that was actually pretty reasonable thinking back then, because it saved the county taxpayers money, and until now, apparently, the property owner didn't need it. I don't think it sets any kind of precedent, because each case is different. In this case, the encroachment never hurt the railroad use or the proposed trail use, and the reason for it not to go up to auction is there's no other buyer that we would want to sell this to. Our interest is in clearing up this boundary dispute. And this property owner is the only one that can do that on this. So the property owner benefits and we benefit. And I think the IDA-EDA question is, as Legislator Maloney said, just whichever one works better for us is the one we should do. It's a tiny encroachment, a quarter of an acre, a 20th, a fifth of an acre. And it, getting it off of our books finally resolves something that's been kind of hanging out there for 20 plus years.
Mr. Chairman, and if I could, this is where we're doing the Midtown Linear Park under a federal transportation project, so they want to see clean right-of-way from us, too. If I don't clean up these right-of-ways, when I go to get a right-of-way certification, they're going to flag these as you have these other encroachments. The other one is within this project area, I don't think I have any other encroachment other than the 2 inches of the building, which is going to be, that's a rounding error. They do have a temporary structure on it that can easily be moved. But this was the only permanent, really unmovable encroachment that we have in the linear park area, in the 8/10 of a mile.
Anybody else?
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
How many feet, it's hard for me to read this, how many feet off the center line of the railroad does it go into this proposed property line, to the red line?
It's at least 18. It's at least 12, because I needed enough width for the trail.
What is the width of the trail?
The trail is going to be, the trail width is 12 feet with 5 foot shoulders on either side. So it's got to be 11 or 12 feet. I usually leave a little bit on the side. I really, frankly, can't see as well as I used
plus
to.
Plus the 34.
Nor can I. That's
plus
why
the 34 on the other side.
Yeah, and then you have, the trail doesn't
Someone
have to be in the center
on.
Line mm-hmm. of the track. But either way, like, let's say you wanted to put that track back someday exactly where it was and run train. Mm-hmm. This doesn't interfere with it at all. CMRR was operating the entire time it had a lease with this encroachment in place.
And
Tracy?
So this, the property that's immediately adjacent where it says lands of Donna Spada?
Yes.
That where there's a furnace?
Yeah, and that loading dock.
And that loading dock?
Our property as well. And I understand we sold that to them many years ago.
When did we, what's many years ago?
Two or three, I believe. Was it that long ago?
Well, many
the
and two or
property
three
was a well, while ago. Yes, I think you're thinking of another property.
I would love to know the history of that property as well, then.
Dennis remembers that.
Lynn?
What do we have?
Dennis here.
My apologies to the committee for being late.
Who did the appraisal on the property?
Hudson Valley Appraisal.
My question, Dennis, is do you recall, in terms of the county sale of the Donna Spada property for this furnace and loading dock, when
that
was?
When did we sell her the loading dock? Wasn't that back in the Micronetics day?
No, it was just recently, because there was an encroachment of the loading dock onto CMRR, and it was, I would say, not more than 10 or 15 years ago.
See, for recent for him is...
Oh, yeah. See, everybody sends a recent.
Recent for Dennis.
Can I tell you
how much I really appreciate, Chris?
Open the fire hose.
I would like to to see the documentation regarding that sale, what we did with
Spotted
that.
Spotted property?
Much, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Lynn? No?
I'm done.
Oh. Anyone else?
It's just I'm just confused because the CMRR can't get past Down Street. There's no tracks beyond that, so they can go over it, but beyond that there's gates and it's closed off the whole way, so I don't know why that would have anything to do with their lease at all.
It didn't.
Oh,
I'm just saying during the term of their lease, which expired in May of 2016,
okay,
they operated this area as a rail yard and they traversed equipment right past this building without any issue.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct. Like, your policy is to convert from Kingston Plaza back to Cornell Street to trail only, and we're in the process of doing that. Mm-hmm. You approved the removal of the track from Down Street to I-587. That will be happening very soon.
Tracy?
I just feel like I'm going to have to, because I'm probably the last comment. I may vote for this on the floor. I'm not prepared to vote yes today. I feel uncomfortable. I need to do a little more research.
It's literally, you're setting a public hearing so you can hear more about it.
Right.
Maybe Rich Boyce can come and talk about how important this is to the people that he employs.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will.
All right. Any other questions?
Just a query. The spot of sale was for a similar reason. They can't get, without clear title, they can't sell.
Understand.
And they can't get a mortgage. So it was a clear title issue.
All right.
You know, it's the same thing with the Boyce
for next
issue.
We greatly appreciate it. All right.
I don't have it.
Any other questions?
Probably in the legislature.
If not, a motion. We made a motion. Yeah. All in favor say aye to have a public hearing.
Aye.
Anybody against?
I'm against right now.
Two against. All right, approving the execution of a contract excess of $50,000 for the county, Trinity Services, Ulster County Sheriff. Move.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Any questions? Tracy?
Do we know how many people bid on this contract?
This is a sheriff's contract. We assume that
someone would be here, yeah.
We can't speak to it, it's a sheriff.
Can we hold it to talk about it? I mean, I just want to say, I looked at the contract. I know I'm one of the people, or maybe the main person, who's been speaking out against the contractor that did provide the food services, and this contract gives me more comfort than the previous contract did in terms of some of the details spelled out, both in the requirements for fruits and vegetables and some of the other categories. I did have some very hyper-specific questions regarding, speaks to an 18% commission on commissary vending, but then in the next page talks about a 30% commission in calculations. So I'm a little confused about that, but I would like to know how many people bid on it. Maybe we could have the sheriff here just to discuss it. Not the sheriff, per se, but someone from the office.
Okay. Motion to hold it over?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
386?
I'm not in favor of it, no.
Right,
can you speak to how many people bid on it?
How many? This was for the food contract?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because I have to get, I'm trying to flip through as fast as I can here. Didn't this go to law enforcement?
God bless you.
Thank you.
It did. What I'm asking, how many people bid on it?
Well, how many vendors bid on the contract?
I don't remember who spoke to it at my committee meeting, but it was like a great contract, and it was like better than what we had, so
yeah.
I don't understand what the, right? I mean, I'm trying to remember.
But we are a committee that has to approve. Right,
well,
I mean, it's nice to have someone speak to us.
We have a motion to hold it over
yeah.
for 1 week to get
just
the number
saying,
of
yeah,
the people that are
thank
proposals.
I agree that the contract seems much better than our money.
Tell the sheriff to get us the information. All right, 386, authorizing the chairman to execute a contract with Pine Professional Services, Department of Public Works.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
387, authorize the chairman to execute a contract with Ulster Savings Bank for public defender, Department of Public Works.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? No. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
388, authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to lease agreement with Access Support for Living.
I'll move
space.
It.
Move. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
389, authorize the chairman of Ulster County to execute a lease agreement with Supports for Living, Inc., Office Space, Mental Health. Moved by.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
390, authorize Capital Project 475, Slope Analyze and Stabilization Amendment 2018, Capital Improvement Program, Department of Public Works Bridges.
No.
Second.
Second.
Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
392, amending Capital Project 483, Fire Training Center, amending 2008-2023 Capital Improvement Program. Department of Public Works, move.
Move, second. That's Ulster Landing Road?
Yes.
Yeah.
Second?
Second.
All right, Tracy?
So, I'm curious about this, just in terms of, it mentions somewhere in this, and it may be in the next resolution, but somewhere in the backup information, it talks about preliminary design somewhere around May 2018.
We've completed preliminary design for the fire training center location at Ulster Landing Road, and this was moved to final design. We have 30%, what they call 30% design drawings.
So can we see those? And I also feel, given that we've heard this constant feedback from the citizens in proximity to Ulster County Community College with their concerns about what's going to go on there, I feel a little bit out of a loss for what's going to go on there, because it sounds like they're speaking to a facility that's very much like what this facility is, which is in Ulster. And I think it would help, at least just me, to have a presentation on where the project actually is right now and what is actually proposed for the community college site and what is actually proposed for this site, including the preliminary drawings. I know that there was an informational meeting held, but I could not make that informational meeting, and I heard a lot of feedback as to from members from this body who were there as to the, I don't know how they described it, but a kind of a working around a bunch of different stations set up as being not as productive to hearing what everybody hearing what people's concerns are, since it was a different type of presentation than someone raising their hand, and everyone gets the benefit of hearing what that concern is.
With the people that have been coming and testifying at the monthly meetings, there's been a lot of misinformation that's been perpetuated. So I know that we have enough staff in the room, we could go over right now if you'd like.
We could.
I do know that there was legislators that were very happy as well with the open house format. I mean, one thing that we didn't want to do was just have everybody sit in a room, and that's what they can come and give public hearings in front of the legislature for. We wanted to give information out so that people could come, ask questions about the project, and be informed, as opposed to someone from the floor just lodging complaints and spreading misinformation. So that's why we chose that.
Okay, because I wasn't there, I can't speak to the format per se, but I can say to what Ken is, Deputy Executive Ken Cornell is saying, that if misinformation is being perpetuated by the public coming to meetings, I think we could venture to say that the public, at least that public, is misinformed.
Oh, I wouldn't say that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Not in the least.
No?
I literally have about 10 FOIL requests from those individuals. They know exactly what we're doing. They have every email that we have. They FOIL our office, the EMC, the law enforcement offices, the executive offices, and the DPW offices. They know exactly what we're doing.
So then what is the confusion here? I mean,
it's a public relations campaign.
The truth doesn't fit the narrative that they're trying to perpetuate. So they keep saying it over and over again until someone thinks it's true.
So what is going to be happening at that site, since you're saying, at the community college site that's not happening at this site?
Let's ask this question. What's happening at the site in Ulster?
So the town of Ulster site, we've moved the 30% drawings, and the material that we've submitted to you, we've actually submitted those drawings as part of the secret documentation. Those drawings are actually part of the.
I don't think we're in there.
We don't have drawings.
Let's just kind of walk through the major differences.
So at the town of Ulster site, we're going to be basically doing things that relate to active fire training, including all the burning activities. That means that we're going to do work. We're going to build a burn building out there. We're going to build a car prop. We're going to build a flashover container. And we're going to build a propane prop out in those locations.
And renovate their
existing.
And then we're going to renovate the existing administration building, and we're also going to build a car extrication pad at those locations. We have preliminary drawings for those.
Relocate a pistol range.
We're not relocating it. We're doing some minor improvements on the pistol range because of access issues. We will not move the pistol range. The town of Ulster has agreed to an easement request that we've made for that property. It's all the property west of Ulster Landing Road. And they've also agreed to a memorandum of agreement relative to their access to that property during our construction period, as well as access to the fire services out there during our construction because of the existing improvements that are on the site.
So which is, one of which is, a burn building that currently exists. So they are currently burning there now and doing training.
So that's what's going to exist at the town of Ulster site. We're at 30% drawings. The contract that we're looking at essentially moves these to final design and bid documents. We're also out for RFP with respect to construction management. That RFP is due back, it's due back in November. And we anticipate a construction manager coming on by the end of this year to go through the necessary construction management work. We anticipate a 12-month construction phase beginning early in March because we have some land we have to clear to avoid bats, and then construction to take place in that.
How many acres are there?
The total of the site on the western portion of the road is about 50-some acres. We anticipate a disturbance of a little around 3 to 5 acres of disturbance associated with it. This is a former clay mine, so we're not really, we've done endangered species work, we've done wetlands work out there, we've also done work relative to some of the water quality work necessary with respect to the site in terms of the existing well on site for PFOAs, as well as for it being able to meet New York State water quality, public health water quality standards. All of that work has been done on that site. On the SUNY Ulster site, this is more geared to trying to meet some of the requirements for Firefighter One training, absent any burning activities. I can't basically tell you this enough. There will be no burning activities. We're proposing a 3-story training tower out at that location, a confidence maze for self-contained breathing apparatus, which is all takes place inside a building, and a roof prop, which basically trains firemen how to get through roofs of buildings, and then some storage structures. Anticipated disturbance out there is less than an acre, and we anticipate that traffic generation out there will be less than 25 cars, all of which will take place off-peak. We are doing noise studies out in that location. We're also doing work with respect to wetlands out in that location. We have done some geotech out there so we know whether the site is buildable or not buildable. All of that work is taking place on what is now a concept plan that's being moved to essentially to a preliminary plan.
One of the important, if I could just add one thing, and these are three, well, two, Walker Valley being the third, three standalone sites. So the training that's currently, well, that will be done at SUNY Ulster is currently being done at the firehouses. If we don't build, and we fully intend to build these sites, but it doesn't increase or decrease traffic from one to the other, depending on, you know, when they're all built out. Yeah. So the SUNY, or the Town of Ulster site is completely set apart from the SUNY Ulster site.
Right. And the secret documentation that we've provided with respect to these projects is a segmented review. We did an initial analysis of all the alternative sites. We chose to go with a shared fire service training network. We picked three sites to site those on. Each can stand in and of and by itself and is not dependent upon the other.
The three-story building, can you talk about the kinds of activities that will happen there?
Hose stretching exercises in those locations, bailout exercises, other types of exercises that are associated with non-burning.
And will there be water activity there?
There will be no actual spraying of water in those locations. They will be using hose that are filled with water because they have
the
to
weight.
The weight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about
fire extinguishers?
What's that?
The fire extinguishers. I thought it was an A and a B.
A and a B.
Type fire. Yeah.
No.
You're not going to
no.
be just charging
No, because
fire.
There's no fire there.
Yeah.
No fire.
No.
Tracy?
Well, one, can we get the preliminary drawing? You referenced the drawings. We don't have them in our packet.
They should be attached as part of the secret documentation. If you didn't get the secret documentation.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The
first thing, but then the second question is...
This is for the Town of Ulster, so.
Right,
okay.
Right. Because
okay.
the other you're saying is just in a concept...
Right.
What did you call it?
Concept
plan, and moving towards preliminary.
Okay. The other question is, at the Town of Ulster site, I remember the discussions when we were talking about the community college site about there not being on-site water. Is there on-site water at the Town of Ulster site? Are we going to be able to do those kind of higher pumping?
There
exercises?
Is an on-site fire pond at
okay.
the Town of Ulster site that we can use.
Are you going to use it?
Yes.
Are they using it now?
Yes.
Yes, they currently use it.
And you spoke about noise studies and off hours. What's your term of off hours for, like, the kind of noise levels that are going to occur with this three-story building on the SUNY site?
The SUNY site noise studies are based on daytime activities because of the times that they're occurring. We will
during the day, during the week, or daytime activities on the weekend?
We anticipate the use of the site will be 3 days a week, and on Saturdays from basically from 9 to 4. And not every Saturday, and not every 3 days a week. Training is concentrated at the beginning of the spring, through early summer. It decreases during summer because of vacations and heat, and it increases again in the fall. And then as the weather takes over, it decreases again in November, December.
Laura,
I had two minor more contractual. I was referred to. Deputy Ryder, the fire contract refers to getting a waiver for to get the assistance of county personnel.
So that's boilerplate, and that's actually talking about hiring county employees after the fact. And so that's not actually us giving them assistance to work on that contract. It's forbidding them to hire away county employees without that waiver.
Okay. All right. And then the other one was none of these contracts have requirements
payroll.
For certified payroll.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are typically on contractor contracts.
Right. Yeah.
This is architect and engineering services.
Okay.
We are going to be required to have certified payroll for any type of construction work.
Okay.
Which
Thank
relates
you.
To prevailing wage.
Right. Well, you have to get in with by state law.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And this contract doesn't include construction. Worker construction
Just
support. So we'll add that as supplemental after we finish the design work.
Tracy.
So to Lynn's questions regarding the SUNY Ulster site and your answers regarding the hours of operation, is that in writing somewhere?
Yeah, there's a whole presentation. We gave a presentation to the town. We gave a presentation to the town planning board.
Okay.
We actually gave that presentation as part of the effort relative to the public meeting,
mm-hmm.
And we put out a myths and facts a misinfect sheet with respect to
Where did it put it out? Where? Where did it go?
It went to all of the individuals at the town level. It went to everybody that attended the public meeting.
So can I mean, just speaking for myself, can I get copies of
Absolutely.
All that? I think it would be helpful because as we're hearing things and concerns from the public, if they're easily answered by simple facts, I mean, there's no question that members of the public have alleged that this is going to be 7 days a week, 9, 10, 12 hours. I mean, it depends on who you've heard. So it's like if there's something written down that says no, this maximum of 3 days a week, and you know only certain Saturdays, and only from 9 to 4. I feel like that's a very. It would help to arm everybody with that information in the legislature, because it's,
sure,
right?
Not a problem for us.
It won't matter. But
okay, but can we start? With yeah, thank you.
James.
Dennis, one last thing that you hear different things going back and forth, that the college project was somehow tied to the Ulster Landing project.
No.
That is completely false. They are separate. One is independent of the other. One doesn't have to be done before the other one starts, any of that. That was something that was out there also.
Yeah, and I would resist efforts to tie them together, because if by tying them together, we essentially assume that we have to do secret determinations on all of them together rather than doing secret determinations on each individual piece. Mm-hmm. And we've made that case in terms of our filing with the municipalities in each of the jurisdictions, and we make that case again with respect to what we're talking about with respect to the easement, that this is a segmented review, that the easement stands alone and is not dependent upon any future actions relative to this legislature in terms of as we move to approval of the construction.
Tracy?
Is the Walker Valley site still going to be used for fire training?
Yes, it will be. The burn tower at the Walker Valley site will be used as soon as they get through the contract. Is that what they're returning at this point?
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Nope. Not 394, approving the execution of a contract to access the 50 Antibody County, CPT Mail Associates, Department of Public Works. Move.
So moved.
Second. Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
395, authorize the chairman to enter an easement and a memorandum of agreement with the town of Ulster for fire training.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. We have it. Any questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
397, pledging matching funds for Our Loving New York Tourism Promotion Department of Tourism. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
398, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50 Antibody County, Career Abstract, Department of Finance.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
399, authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to accept the bid for parcel of county-owned real property for the private sale and authorizing the Chairman of Ulster County Legislature to convey such parcel.
Department Hello.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
401, establishing county equalization rates for the year 2019 levy. Moved?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman,
all in favor, what?
I will be abstaining from that I will have my hand in two of those e-grids. For employment.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any new business? We have the budget that came out last week. Get some good night sleeping. We're going to be attacking this budget, looking at this budget in future weeks to come. Yes, Lynn.
Do we have a schedule of ways and means with various departments, or is that premature?
Premature, because we don't have... I don't have a budget yet. I don't know if anyone else does, but is it Friday? It will be here. But we will be meeting with the consultants. They have called me up. They're eager to go. They would like to get the contract finalized. They have a little question there. But right since everything's settled, we will move forward. Tracy?
But can we start scheduling appointments, or maybe through Amber we could start to figure out when works for the various departments that would come to this committee to discuss their budgets in terms of our, all of our schedules are going to get really tight because we have lots of meetings coming up. So the sooner the better, I'd say, just as legislators are doing their due diligence and formulating their questions, it would help.
First of all, we need to have, get a budget in hand so we can look at it and see exactly what's in it for ourselves.
But the departments that are under our purview.
Yeah, the departments that are under our purview, I think we know when the budget's going to arrive in our hands. So even in advance of that arrival, we can be scheduling, if it's the will of this committee, we can be scheduling the meetings with the various departments that are under our purview to come in and have the discussion with us in terms of looking through their budgets and explaining their initiatives and changes from last year and goals for this year, just so that we head into 2019 as fully informed as possible.
I mean, that'll come in due time.
But I'm just worried about what due time is, because we have a lot of meetings that are coming in due time, and so I'd like to advocate for those meetings to be as soon as possible. I mean, really in the next 2 weeks, I'd say maximum. For those meetings.
Well, in the next 2 weeks, we'll probably have a meeting with our consultants hopefully we can sit down and see, pick their brains apart of what they have done so far, where they're going. And then, yes, we will get together with the department heads that we see, tell them to come forth, and then we'll open up to the whole budget itself, and we'll listen to the schedule that we have before us regarding public hearings, any appeals, and so forth and so on.
I'm hoping we can set a date for the five or six departments that are under Ways and Means. Yes. Finance, personnel, I'm off the top of my head, I don't have all of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it would be helpful at least to get a start with those groups and this body at a special meeting, just to come before us and talk so that we have some idea of what they're proposing for next year. And it may not be tremendous change, but again, it's about familiarization with the departments, understanding the roles, what they're doing, and I think that we can benefit from that.
We will be doing that, yes. Tracy?
Yeah, I was just going to, again, advocate that we do that. I don't feel that this committee needs to wait for the meeting with our budget analyst and to do that. We can have the meeting with the departments to talk about their budgets and what's proposed in their budgets. It's really it's an educational component for this committee, and for any legislator who wants to sit in can come and sit in and hear what the departments have in the budget and get a better understanding of it, so that going into the budget analyst and the appeals, etc., we're informed. So again, I'm just advocating for that being as soon as possible. I advocate for the same thing in the other committees that I serve on.
I can assure you that we will be doing it in the very near future. With the people that, the committees that we, or departments that we oversee, we will be touching base with the consultant, having that meeting too, in a very short period of time from now. It's not set up yet, but we will let you know probably within the next, anybody in this week, the beginning of next week, exactly what those time schedules are.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Questions.
What's that? 5:55.